Respected elders and brothers, there is a saying which says, every lock has a key. Meaning every problem has a solution. If you get the right key, you'll be able to open the lock. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us Muslims with the master key that can open any and every lock, and that is the gift of salah. Because Allah Himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. O believers, seek assistance with patience and with salah. Salah is the key to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we desire in our lives is within the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever a person wants. And how do we access the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We access the treasures of Allah through salah. If we can perform that salah correctly, we can perform that salah in a manner that Allah wants us to perform that salah. Immediately we will draw the divine assistance of Allah, the divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has got a need, then you get salatul hajat. How many people read salatul hajat now? Every day we have got needs. How many people say, let's go to the masjid or let's go to the musalla and let's read that 2 rakats namaz before we do anything else? A person has committed a sin. It's happening all the time. We're always making mistakes. Then you get salatul tawbah, where you can make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person needs to make a decision in his life. Often in life, you come to crossroads, you don't know which direction to turn to. And you need to make a decision. And you need Allah's divine guidance. So then you get salatul istikhara, istikhara namaz. When there's no rain, then you get salatul istisqa, the salah you read to make dua for rain. And often it happens, you just read that salah, or people are still busy reading the salatul istisqa, and immediately you start seeing Allah is sending down the rain. So this salah is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on this journey of Mi'raj and got that proximity of Allah, which no other human or no other angel got that proximity. And then among the gifts that were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the gifts was the salah. Tuhfa-e qurbo muhabbat panjagana haziri. The gift of love and the gift of closeness is that opportunity of presenting yourself 5 times before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we're looking for, Allah has kept it in that salah. You're looking for peace. You're looking for tranquility. You're looking for satisfaction. Everything is in that salah. You know, just when you say Allahu Akbar, you come to the masjid. I don't know how many people I heard saying this to me, that Maulana, had it not been through salah, we would have committed suicide long ago. People going through difficulties, hardships. But they say the moment we enter the masjid, the peace and the serenity we experience, we cannot describe that peace. And it is because of that we are not even thinking of suicide. So when a person is saying Allahu Akbar, he's raising his hands. What is the wisdom behind that? The wisdom behind that is as though you're pushing everything behind you. Everything is behind. You're only focusing on Allah. You know, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, As-salatu imadud deen. Salah is the pillar of deen. Now, if you look in this musalla, you'll find different things. And everything can be adjusted, everything can be moved around. But you can't move the pillar. So in life, you'll have appointments, you'll have meetings, you'll have commitments, you'll have all sorts of different responsibilities. But everything can be adjusted, everything can be changed. But salah cannot be adjusted. Everything needs to work around salah. Salah cannot work around that. Some ulama in fact explained, Allah created this entire world for the benefit of man. And Allah created man for ibadat. And if you look at ibadat, the most important ibadat, the first thing to be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah, what is the first thing Allah is going to ask you about? Your salah. So salah is the most important ibadat. In fact, it's mentioned the best thing placed on the surface of this earth. Everything that you've got, all the wealth and all the comforts and all the luxuries. But the best thing placed on the surface of this earth is salah. As-salatu khayru mawdu'in. There can be nothing better than salah if you just understand the secret behind that salah. So this salah is a very great ni'mat and a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, the hadith says, salah is the pillar of deen. And when you're saying Allahu Akbar, what are you doing? In reality, you are pushing everything behind you. And you are saying Allah is the greatest. When you say Allah is the greatest, what's the effect of that? What's the impact of that? You are saying far beyond my comprehension, far beyond my understanding. You know, my understanding can go to a certain limit. I can understand Allah's greatness to a certain limit. Allah is far greater than what I can comprehend and understand Him to be. Allah is far greater than everything else. Allah is greater than every fear in my life. Allah is greater than every phobia I have got. Allah is greater than every ambition in my life. Nothing is difficult for Allah. So that's already immediately what a powerful effect is giving. Allahu Akbar. And throughout the namaz, if you're just pondering over, just Allahu Akbar, there's no reason for you to have any fear in your heart anymore. There's no reason for you to have any phobia. No. Allah is the greatest. Why am I afraid? What am I worried about? I have entrusted my matter to Allah. He will take care of everything. Outwardly, I cannot see any solution to my problem. But Allah is the greatest. He's got every solution. Where your mind cannot comprehend, where you think something is impossible, for Allah, nothing is impossible. So you're starting off your salah with Allahu Akbar. You know, Surah Fatiha. What a great surah. There's no surah in the Torah, not in the Zabur, not in the Injil, and not in the entire Quran like Surah Fatiha. In fact, ulama explain that Surah Fatiha is the synopsis of 104 kitabs that Allah revealed from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam till Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. 104 kitabs were revealed. That person who has recited Surah Fatiha, it is as though he has recited the whole 104 books. You know, when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you know what a great impact it has got. You're getting a response from Allah. You cannot hear the response. I cannot hear a response. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam informed us. And you need to keep this in your mind. When you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah is responding, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. When you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah is responding, Athna Ali Abdi, my servant has revered me. He has showed respect to me. Malik Yawmiddin, Allah is responding, Majjadani Abdi, my servant has glorified me. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You know, when you're reading this in namaz, don't just read it like, you know, parrot fashion. No. Read it with meaning. Oh Allah, you alone do we worship. And from you alone do we seek assistance. And you're as though asking Allah at that moment. You're begging to Him. You're begging from Him His divine assistance. So Allah says, Hada baini wa baina abdi wa li abdi ma sa'ala. This line is between me and between my servant. Because the first part He says, oh Allah, you alone do we worship. So as though you are praising Allah. And then the second part is, I am asking you alone for assistance. And Allah is saying, guaranteed, wali abdi ma sa'ala, for my servant will be what he asked for. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-mawdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Allah is responding, hadha li abdi, this is for my servant. What you asking Allah for? Hidayat. Allah, give me hidayat. Guide me to the straight path. This is for my servant, and for my servant is whatever he has requested. Allah is telling you, guaranteed, you asked for it and you got it. But it's got to come from the heart. It cannot just be a lip service. It has to come from the recesses of your heart. You have to perform that salah properly. You have to be dedicated. You have to be focused. You know, in the hadith is mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a person performs salah on the allocated time, he makes a proper wudu. You know, he's speaking about wudu. Remember, the key to salah is wudu. Wudu is half of your salah. If your wudu is proper, your salah is proper. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu, he used about 1 liter of water. There's two different views on what is the exact measurement of the mud. One is about 750 ml and the other is about a liter. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu, he used 1 liter of water only. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when a person wastes water when he makes wudu, then that will impact on the spirituality of that salah. That salah is going to be devoid of spirituality. Another very important aspect of wudu, we're just highlighting few aspects, because time does not permit us to go into too many details, is miswak. You know, Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, once he never had a miswak. Some ulama mentioned, wudu is half namaz, and miswak is half wudu. So if you don't make miswak, you must know half your wudu is as though, although your wudu is valid. No one is going to tell you your wudu is invalid. But that full benefit of that wudu, you're not going to get. Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, one day he never had a miswak. So he's going around asking people, please sell me a miswak. How am I going to read namaz without miswak? So one person, capitalizing on the situation, told him, okay, I'll sell it to you for 1 dinar. You know, 1 dinar is a gold coin. Approximately 2,500 rand now, small coin. 2,500 rand, gave him 1 dinar, bought the miswak. And imagine now, in this time also, that was that time. Imagine someone comes and sells you a miswak for 2,500 rand, tell the person something is wrong with you. The person who buys it also will tell him, you know what, something is definitely wrong with you. So someone after that approached Shibli, and they told him, you know what, Shibli, something is definitely wrong with you. You took 1 dinar, and you bought 1 miswak. What reply he gave? He said that 1 dinar, and not only the 1 dinar, but the whole world, with all the gold and all the silver, has got no worth in the sight of Allah, not even worth the wing of 1 mosquito. But that miswak that I made, that reward that I got, that benefit of that sunnah, you can't attach any price to it. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that salah which miswak is made for it is 70 times more superior than that salah which you don't make miswak for. And you know what? The funny thing is that most of us will have miswaks lying all around. You go to your home, every corner. But it's just that motivation now. So keep one in your pocket, keep one in your car, keep one in your office, keep one in your bathroom. Wherever you can keep a miswak, buy 20 miswaks and keep it wherever you can keep it. So when you're looking for it, you don't find any difficulty. However, ulama do say, if someone doesn't have a miswak, then you can even use your finger also. Or you can get a coarse cloth, you know, and you can use that also. Just because you don't have a miswak, so as a last resort, you can use this here. So that wudu is done correctly. The salah is performed on time. Then the standing posture is done correctly. Then you have got the khushu concentration. Khushu, when we're speaking about khushu, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah Ali used to explain khushu, at-tadhallul, or tadhallulul qulub li'allamil ghuyub. Where the heart surrenders itself before the being who has full knowledge of the unseen. That's what's khushu. And Mujahid Rahmatullah Ali, one word he explained, tranquility. You know, one great senior person had seen someone playing with his beard in salah. And how often don't you find it? Some people have got this habit. You've got to train yourself to get out of these things. Someone plays with their beard. Someone's playing with their nose. Someone is interfering with his ears. You know, pious people, when they perform salah, they were like pillars that were standing. Not a movement. And there you'll find someone going front, someone going back, putting his head up, putting his head down. You know, people do all these types of things. So that senior saint, when he saw this person, and he saw that he's playing with his beard, he said, "Lo khasha'a qalbu hadha la khasha'at jawarihuhu." If this man's heart had khushu and full concentration, then you would have seen that concentration on his organs as well, on his limbs also. His hand will not be fidgeting. The fact that his hand is playing around, it means that his heart doesn't have that level of khushu. So you make that khushu, and then you're making a ruku properly, and a sajda properly. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said That salah is raised in a very radiant form. And then it makes dua, Hafizakallah, kama hafiztani. May Allah preserve you. May Allah protect you as you protected me. And on the contrary, when the salah is not performed on the allocated time, the wudu is not done properly. A person doesn't have the required concentration. He's not standing properly. Ruku and sajda is not done properly. Then that salah is raised in a very dark condition and it curses you. Dayyakallah, kama dayyatani, may Allah destroy you as you destroyed me. And that salah is then taken to the heavens and it comes to a certain point where it is wrapped up like an old tattered rag and flung back on this person's face. To say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you think? Allah wants you just to come and move up and down? Does Allah want you to just see your movements? No. Allah wants that devotion from the heart. And that is your success in life. Remember, if you want to measure your success, don't look at your bank balance. Don't look at what you are worth. Don't look at your status in society. Measure your success by your salah. Measure your success by the moments in sajda when you've connected your heart to Allah. When you're crying to Allah, when you're pleading before Allah, when you're asking from Allah, when you're drawing from the treasures of Allah, that is your success in life. Not your bank balance. No, no. And remember, if there's no salah in your life, there will be no barakat. You can read any wazifa you want. You can have the whole world full of ta'weezes. You can, you know, paste your whole house, your whole shop with ta'weez upon ta'weez. But if there's no salah in your life, there'll definitely be no barakat. So it's very, very important now for us to try and inculcate and develop this khushu and concentration and prepare yourself. They say prior, proper preparation prevents poor, pathetic performance. When you prepare yourself in anything in life, remember you have to give quality time to Allah. Like you give quality time to your family, you will expect your wife to give you quality time. You got to give quality time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare yourself. You know, before azan, some buzugayadin, half an hour before azan, they'll start preparing. Go to toilet. You know, you made istinja properly. You got no drops that is troubling you. Make a proper wudu. All the sunnats, everything. You don't want to miss out anything. Dress properly. You know, when you're going into the court of a king, imagine now Saudi Arabia king invites you to come to his palace. You're going to wear pajamas and go. Obviously not. Person is going to wear the best clothing he's got. He's not just going to dress anyhow. Sometimes you just see people come because it's showing that a person is disconcerned. I'm not saying the salah is invalid. If your satr is concealed, your salah will be valid. But dress properly because you're going before Allah. So you dress with the best clothing. And if you can wear the sunnah clothing, wear the sunnah clothing. But minimum requirement is, remember, your satr must not be exposed. Often you're standing behind someone in salah and the person's got like a short t-shirt and he's wearing a certain type of a pants. And as he's going into ruku, now some part of his satr is exposed. It's actually embarrassing to go and tell. I just met a person just now earlier on. He came to see me for some work and he had a jeans and his jeans got a hole. He just performed namaz and after namaz he met me and his jeans got a hole. I can actually see his tie through his jeans. Now that's the new fashion now. That's a style now. You have to wear torn clothing to keep in with fashion. Imagine that is how we have stooped so low that fashion has become, you wear torn clothing. Before when people had torn clothing, they would put a patch. Now people will wear that clothing that's torn and now the person's tie is showing. Now I don't know how to tell the person also, brother, you know what, you just read namaz. Okay, I'm not saying it may be a small amount of the tie, but I mean what respect it is. You're standing before Allah and your tie is showing. So this is something that we need to be cognizant of. Come early to the masjid. Try and be there in the first saf. Go forward. When you go forward, Allah will take you forward. Sometimes a man comes to the masjid, standing right in the back. Why you have to stand right in the back? Come forward. You go forward. Allah will take you forward in the dunya and the akhirat. Okay, sometimes it may not be most advisable for most people to stand directly behind the imam. Why? What happens is sometimes now the imam, he makes a mistake. He needs someone to correct him. Sometimes someone needs to be a bit more alert. Because now the person, maybe he missed the tashahud, what you need to do. So sometimes you'll find in certain masjids, they'll leave place for like senior ulama. Alright, this is a senior alim. that the muazzin is there, and a senior alim now he comes, he stands there, or a senior person, he knows what to do. If you're an ordinary person standing behind the imam, you don't know what to do. How often happens? Imam made a mistake. All people standing behind him, no one even knows he made a mistake. The alim is standing, someone standing right in the corner there. He can't even scream to the masjid. It's a big place. Now he's going to scream whether the imam will hear him or not. So that's why sometimes it's better to maybe the area just behind the imam, maybe leave that in a place where there is a senior person. Someone's going to stand there and you know they're going to correct the imam. So then leave that for that. But as far as possible, the first saf. And then think this is going to be your last salah. If it's going to be your last salah, how are you going to perform it? Imagine if you know Malakul Maut is waiting for you. And you know this is your last namaz. Think about the akhirat. Think about Maut. Think you're conversing with Allah. You're speaking to Allah. Surah Fatiha. Allah is responding to you. Imagine now. What better conversation in your life. You are conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep all this in your mind. Show respect to the masjid. Another problem we find. Cell phones. You may get a rare occasion, a man coming to the masjid, he forgets to switch off his cell phone. But if it's happening all the time, it's a serious problem. So make sure, and then moreover, if someone's got like a musical ringer or something, now you've come to the masjid, you know, people, when these things were said in the past, you know, that the time will come when music will come into the masjids and noises will become, people could not even understand it. They said, it's like, well, it's just like an impossible thing. But with the cell phone, there's nothing that's impossible. Everything, people are watching movies in the masjid. People are even watching porn in the masjid. Allah protect. This is what is happening. It's a reality. How often, sometimes, when people, imams are giving khutbah on Jummah, adults are playing Candy Crush, and I don't know what Candy Crush or what games they're playing, but people come and tell you, Mona, I was standing next to that man, and while the khutbah was there on, I was sitting next to him, and this man is playing this game. So adults are putting out their phones and they're playing games in the masjid. This is not happening here, it's happening in the Haram Sharif. I saw once in the Haram Sharif, I was there, Jummah day, Ramadan month, in front of the Kaaba, one person is watching a movie. He took out his phone, he's watching a proper movie, the sound is on also too. And you know what's even more frightening? You can't even tell that person. Because he'll tell you, no, he's doing nothing wrong. You're being judgmental. That's what the answers people are giving you. No, no. There's a difference of opinion here. I don't know where they get all these things from. But respected friends, these are very, very frightening things. Allah protect us. So we come to the masjid, we show respect, focus, make dua. Also, after the namaz, always feel to yourself, I never did justice to that salah. And remember, we can never do justice. The magnanimity, the majesty of Allah. Allah is so great, we will never ever be able to do justice. Inshallah, if you follow all this routine, that salah now will become the key to the treasures of Allah. After that salah, you raise your hand and you make dua, and Allah is going to definitely accept that dua. So let us be particular of all these aspects. Generally, you'll find in the salah, one is the takbir-e-tahrima. Previously, we had done the whole demonstration of the salah. Inshallah, we'll do it again at some point. But takbir-e-tahrima, a person's face is, you know, you're facing the Qibla, then you will raise your hands like that. The fingers are not open, you know, wide, not closed, tight, in a normal position, facing the Qibla, thumbs in line of the ears. Allahu Akbar. No need to move your neck. So your neck is already, you're already looking there. You're looking in the place of sajda, and your thumbs are in line of your earlobes. Allahu Akbar. And you start your salah. Some people will, you know, put the head down. Allahu Akbar. Or they'll put the head up. So we don't need to do that there. The ruku also, we need to learn the ruku. Ruku is one of the most difficult things. So get a proper alim, inshallah, to teach us how to make the ruku. Basically, your knees right down needs to be straight. Your hands needs to be straight and your back needs to be straight. So you need to make the ruku properly. You go into sajda also. Remember in sajda, very important aspect, and you'll find a lot of people making this mistake, is that your elbows needs to be above the ground. Your elbows must not be down on the ground. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had prohibited this. So in sajda, your elbows needs to be above the ground. When you're sitting in the tashahud position, here also, your fingers won't be open wide. Won't be closed tight, it will be left in a normal position. And ashadu al, when you come to ashadu al la ilaha, it's actually you raise your finger on la ilaha, not from the beginning. You make a circle with your baby finger, with your thumb and your middle finger, and then ashadu al la ilaha illallah, you drop it down. You don't need to raise it right up to the sky. It just, you know, in the line of the Qibla, ashadu al la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So that's in the tashahud. Also this, how you sit is another important thing also. The right foot, you know, you will sit on your toes and the foot will be erect. Sometimes someone got some excuse. He cannot sit like this, then it's a different thing. But if you perform that salah properly, you don't need to go for any other stretches after that or any other, you know, exercise. A lot of people now, they need to go for stretches and they feel their back is tight and what have you. If you just perform that salah properly, inshallah, that is going to do that. It's gonna, you're not doing it with that intention. But if you do it properly, you'll find that your whole body, you know, you'll find a lot of benefit. A lot of benefit in stretching your body in that way. There's so much of benefit in performing that salah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. When you make salam, you make intention for all those on your right and every single person is there. You're gonna get sawab for that. All the humans, all the farishtas and the pious jinnats, you're making salam to all of them. Imagine the Haram Sharif now. You got maybe 1 million people, couple hundreds of thousands of people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just making that intention. How much of sawab you got already? And if the imam is on your right hand side, then you make intention for the imam also. And then if the imam is on the left hand side, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You make intention that you're making salam to all those people. And then after the salah, you raise your hands, you make dua. Remember dua. You can do it loudly. The better way is to do it softly. So you do it softly. You can do it loudly. Someone wants to do it at congregation. You can do it with the congregation. Someone wants to do it on their own. They do it on their own. It's nothing hard and fast. Sometimes when we don't know these issues, then, you know, it can become a problem. But whichever way, someone's doing it softly, someone's doing it loudly. The idea is to make dua and connect your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dua is another important sunnah. Don't ever leave it out. Inshallah, if we follow all this year, the tasbih Fatimi, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, after every namaz, before sleeping at night. Let us be cognizant of all these different sunnats, the sunnats before namaz, the sunnats after namaz. Sometimes Jummah day, find people are just waiting, someone is coming in last, running out first, no. In the masjid, you try and spend maximum time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.